Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Sunday, October 13th. Today we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss salmon farming in Norway. So, let's dive right in. What are the key aspects of this industry?
Well, Ted, Norway's been in the salmon farming game for over half a century now. We're talking about a major player in the global salmon market here. This industry has been churning out a sustainable, low-carbon protein source that's feeding millions around the world. It's pretty impressive when you think about it. A small country like Norway making such a big splash in the seafood world.
While it might look all rosy on the surface, we can't ignore the elephant in the room, the serious environmental concerns. This so-called sustainable
industry is actually... Hold on a second, Kate. You're painting a pretty grim picture there. The fact is, Norwegian salmon farms are some of the most heavily regulated in the world. They're using cutting-edge tech to minimize their environmental footprint. We're talking about state-of-the-art monitoring systems, advanced feeding techniques...
Oh, come on, Eric. Those fancy systems aren't foolproof. Did you know that every single year, around 200,000 farmed salmon make a break for it? That's right. They escape from those supposedly high-tech open net pens. And let me tell
you... Now, wait just a minute. You're throwing numbers around without any context. In the grand scheme of things, considering the massive scale of Norway's salmon farming industry, that's actually a tiny percentage. Plus, they're constantly...
A tiny percentage? Are you kidding me? Even one escaped salmon can wreak havoc on wild populations through interbreeding. It's not about the numbers, it's about the impact.
All right, let's take a step back here. How exactly does this interbreeding affect wild salmon? Can you break it down for us?
Sure, Ted. Look, I'm not saying there's zero impact, but we need to keep things in perspective. Wild salmon have been around for millions of years. They've survived ice ages, for crying out loud. They're incredibly resilient and adaptable. While there might be some genetic mixing when farmed salmon escape, it's not like wild salmon populations are going to suddenly collapse because of it.
Oh, please, that's such a dangerous oversimplification. You're acting like this is no big deal, but the reality is far more serious. When farmed salmon interbreed with wild ones, it causes significant genetic changes in the wild populations. These changes make...
Now hold on, you're blowing this way out of proportion. Many scientific studies have shown that wild salmon populations can coexist with farmed salmon without major issues. It's not the doomsday scenario you're making it out to be.
Those studies? In fact, let me guess, they're funded by the salmon farming industry, right? Independent research tells a completely different story. It clearly shows the negative genetic impact on wild salmon, and it's threatening their long-term survival.
Interesting perspectives from both of you. Now let's consider a similar situation from the past. Can you draw parallels to another aquaculture practice that faced similar challenges?
Absolutely, Ted. A great example that comes to mind is the development of oyster farming in the 19th century. Initially, there were a lot of concerns about its impact on wild oyster populations and coastal ecosystems. Sound familiar? But here's the kicker. Oyster farming is now recognized as a sustainable practice that actually helps improve water quality. It's a classic case of how aquaculture can evolve and address environmental concerns over time.
That's a completely different situation, Eric. You can't compare oysters to salmon. Oysters are stationary creatures.
Now, hang on a second. The principle is absolutely similar. Early oyster farming faced criticism for altering natural habitats, just like salmon farming today, but look at it now. It's a shining example of sustainable aquaculture. The industry adapted, improved its practices.
You're cherry-picking, Eric. Oyster farming doesn't even come close to the scale of potential ecosystem disruption we're seeing with salmon farming. We're talking about...
On the contrary, Kate, oyster farming was massive in scale. Take the Chesapeake Bay, for instance. It went from small-scale operations to an industry churning out millions of oysters annually by the late 1800s. That's a huge transformation.
That still doesn't address the genetic impact we're seeing with salmon. Oysters don't escape and interbreed with wild populations in the same way. You're comparing apples and oranges here. The genetic...
Interesting comparison. How did the oyster industry address its environmental concerns?
Great question, Ted. The oyster industry is a real success story in terms of addressing environmental concerns. They developed better cultivation methods, improved habitat management, and worked hand in hand with regulators. It's like a blueprint for what the salmon farming industry is doing now. They faced challenges, adapted, and came out stronger and more sustainable. It's all about innovation and responsible management.
That's an overly rosy view of things, Eric. The oyster industry still faces plenty of challenges, and it took decades to address the initial problems. We don't have that kind of time with salmon. The clock is ticking, and wild salmon
populations are... But don't you see?
It
shows that with proper management and innovation, aquaculture can become sustainable and even beneficial to the environment. The salmon industry is learning from past experiences and implementing new technologies at a much faster rate. We're talking about rapid advancements.
Salmon farming is far more complex than you're making it out to be. We're dealing with migratory fish in open ocean environments, not stationary shellfish in controlled bays. The challenges are on a whole different level. You can't just apply.
You both raise interesting points. Looking ahead, how do you see the Norwegian salmon farming industry evolving?
I'm glad you asked, Ted. I see a bright future where closed containment systems become the norm in salmon farming. These systems are game changers. They'll virtually eliminate escapes and significantly reduce environmental impact. Imagine salmon farms that are completely separated from the surrounding ecosystem, with full control over water quality, feed, and waste management. It's not science fiction. It's already happening on a small scale, and it's only going to grow.
That's just wishful thinking, Eric. The industry is dragging its feet on change because of the high costs of implementing new technologies. They're more concerned about
their profit margins than... Not true at all, Kate. Many Norwegian companies are already investing heavily in closed containment and offshore farming systems. It's not just talk. It's the future of the industry, and it's happening now. These companies understand that sustainability is key to long-term success. They're putting their money where their mouth is.
Those technologies are still in their infancy and have their own set of problems. They're not a silver bullet solution. We're talking about massive energy requirements, potential equipment failures, and new forms of waste. It's not as simple as you're making it out to be.
Interesting perspectives. What about alternatives to salmon farming? Are there other approaches we should consider?
Absolutely, Ted. One of the most promising alternatives is land-based recirculating aquaculture systems, or RAS for short. These systems offer complete control over the environment and zero risk of escapes. It's like creating a perfect contained ecosystem for salmon. Plus, they can be set up closer to urban markets, which means fresher fish and lower transportation emissions. It's a win-win situation.
Charest systems are energy intensive and have high operational costs. They're not economically viable on a large scale. You're talking about massive electricity consumption, complex filtration systems, and constant monitoring. It's just
That's a short-sighted view, Kate. As technology improves, costs will come down. It's the natural progression of any new industry. RAS systems are getting more efficient every year, and don't forget the benefits. We're talking about year-round production, no sea lice problems, and complete traceability.
You're ignoring the massive water requirements and waste management issues of RAS systems. They're not as green as you're making them out to be. We're talking about huge amounts of freshwater usage in many cases and concentrated waste that needs to be dealt with.
These issues are being addressed through innovative water treatment and waste recycling technologies. It's a constantly evolving field. We're seeing systems that reuse up to 99% of their water and others that turn fish waste into valuable byproducts. The industry is innovating at breakneck speed.
The real solution is to drastically reduce our reliance on farmed salmon and focus on restoring wild salmon populations and their habitats. We need to address the root causes of wild salmon decline: habitat destruction, overfishing, and climate change. Farming more salmon isn't
Well, it's
answer.
Clear that salmon farming is a complex issue with no easy answers. Thanks to both Eric and Kate for sharing their insights today. This discussion highlights the ongoing challenges and innovations in the industry. As we wrap up, it's evident that balancing economic interests with environmental concerns will be crucial for the future of salmon farming. Thanks for tuning in to listen to, and we'll see you next time.